And I'm not going to rattle on before I preach. I'll get started right on into it. But they say don't never get up and give excuses. But y'all all know me. It's been 25 years since I preached. And we always had 2 hours. I got to put a 2-hour message into 10 minutes. So we're gonna do the best we can. I promise. It's like singing or anything else. The more you do it, the better you get at it. But I can assure you we'll do the best we can. I'm going to go ahead myself and turn to the invitation song, because I don't want to get done preaching and have to fumble for the invitation song. Sorry about that. No harm, no foul, huh? I chose this song because, and if you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And we'll start at verse 11. Now keep in mind, the song starts out, "This world is not my home. This world is not my home." John chapter 11, the Bible says, "And now I am no more in the world, out of these are in the world, and I have come to thee. Holy Father, keep them, but keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Now we all know this is Jesus praying for his disciples. He knows his time's near, and he knows that everything that he imparted into them, he's asking the Lord to protect them and to keep them, and because they're going to carry on everything that he put into them. Look at verse 12. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in the name, in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak to the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Now watch how many times he mentions it. "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world." Lord, don't do away with them. Just keep your hand of protection on them. Lead, guide, and direct them. "But that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." There he goes again. Verse 17. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Even though we're in this world, and he made it plain that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. There's a big difference that we're in the world and not of the world. The Bible says, "If any man love the Father," in 1 John 2:15, "the love of the Father is not in him." Now this subject could clearly use some good teaching, good sound teaching, because there's a gray area there. To be in the world and not of the world can kind of sometimes be a gray area. The Bible tells us to work out each man and woman, every man and woman, our own salvation with fear and trembling. I know growing up, everything we done was wrong. It didn't matter if you went skating, you couldn't do nothing. Everything was a sin. And I won't get into all of that. But by the same token, we've come a long way. And even though I look back and see a lot of that stuff was childish, friend, we've got to guard our souls against everything. The devil is keen, he's smart, he knows what may bother me may not bother you, and he knows how to get to us. The devil has never knocked anybody out of the saddle at one time. He always rocks us to sleep. He knows what he's doing. And all I'm saying is that we need to guard ourselves, because we need to, it can't be emphasized enough, we have to be spiritually minded. Especially in today with this hustle and bustle with jobs and everything that we have to do, I think sometimes the devil will use occupation to sidetrack us. Because it is important to raise a family. I'd hate to think I thought of your son-in-law and your daughter. I'd hate to think that I was raising four or five kids today because of all the stuff that goes on and everything like that. And I think sometimes the devil will use even our jobs and stuff because, friend, it doesn't matter if it's right. It can be something good. But if the devil can get you sidetracked, and I know this sounds a little kindergarten, and this I wasn't even in my notes. It just come to my mind. But I remember we was talking, me and somebody, I believe it was a lady in one of the churches, and we was talking. I said, really, a sin can be anything. And I don't see that. And I said, I like my garden and stuff like that. You got a real nice flower garden. Yeah. I said, it would be literally stupid to say something about it being a sin to pick roses. Who'd be stupid enough to say it's a sin to pick roses? And she said, that's true, Eddie. And I said, but now, what if we stayed home and played and picked roses and, or messed with our garden and we're supposed to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day? Then it would become wrong. So we really have to watch it. But, it's not always about do's and don'ts, but we just have to watch it and guard our souls. So we just really have to be careful. If you would, the song goes on to say, I'm just a passing through. I got stuff wrote down, but I'm going to skip it for the sake of time. I'm just a passing through. James 4:14 says, what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appears for a little while and then disappears? Friend, even though that we're in the world but not of the world, even though that we're just a passing through, you know the old saying, we're just pilgrims passing through, and it's true. We're still on a mission. Even though we're not of this world, we're still on a mission. Luke 14:23 said, Jesus said, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house might be full. Now the Greek word compel, anakios, and I ain't saying I pronounced that right, but look at what it means in the Greek. To necessitate, to constrain, force. To think about this, use force. I kind of thought it was funny. I began to think about necessitate. You remember watching any of them movies, how they put that old rag on their head where they was kidnapping somebody and use that ether, and boy, they just pass out. Well, friend, we can't knock people in the head. We can't do something like that and drag them to church. Well, what are you saying, Brother Billy? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. What the Bible is saying is we must do everything within our power to warn people and bring people into the fold. You see, this is really just regarded as a moral persuasion, is the way the Greek term brought it out. But, we just need to do the same things that we do when we invite people to birthday parties, graduations, and everything else. We just need to put our best foot forward in doing things. But we are on a mission. And then the Bible goes on to say, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew, the 6th chapter, and verse 19. The Bible says, lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is there will your heart be also. We all know the parable in Luke 12 of the rich man that had the best soil, he had the best land. If you will, if you can picture it, he was the biggest farmer in town. He had the most tractors. He had the most hired hands. I mean, everybody knew this man. And this particular time, the Bible talks that his soil was good and he made a big crop. And he began to think, patting himself on the back, saying, man, look at all that I've accumulated. Look at the crop. This is the best crop I've had in a long time. He began to think about it. He said, well, what am I going to do with all of this big harvest? He began to think about it. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just tear down all these old barns and everything like that, and I'll just build bigger ones. and I'll build newer ones. And his mind was on what? Material things, accumulating this and that. Not necessarily that it's wrong, but his heart wasn't necessarily in the right place. Is it all right for me to just go ahead and tell you that we have become a materialistic nation? I don't think that's no surprise to y'all tonight. But we just become so materialistic. And I wasn't going to say this, but just for the lack of... I was preaching in Paris, Arkansas, 20 years ago or something. And it was about 200 people. And they were sitting there about where Brother Smith and them sitting. I mean, about the same spot. And I was preaching on something. I can't remember what it was. And I said, I'll tell you what the problem is. We're living in a day and time when we're trying to keep up with the Joneses. And when I did, everybody started laughing. I thought, what in the world have I done now? Everybody started laughing. They started looking at this couple. Everybody was looking in the same direction. Even the people up front was looking back. And I kind of started putting two and two together. I said, don't tell me there's some Joneses in the building. And everybody started laughing and pointing and everything. But the Joneses had me out for dinner that day. And he was a big rodeo guy, Brother Russell, and was a big rancher in that town and stuff like that. But needless to say, that's really a lot of what's going on today. There's nothing wrong with having things as long as everything's in perspective and we have a balance. There has to be a balance in everything. That in itself is a sermon. But we have a tendency to judge a man's character by the house he lives in and the car he drives. The toys that he owns. I teach Brother Bill about having every kind of toy in the book. He's got everything, man. I said, Brother Bill, the only reason I don't like coming to your house, you got so many toys I like. I said, I got to watch it. I'll be envious. But that's the truth. But, you know, that's just the day in which we live. We judge a man by the house he lives in. We may judge a lady by the dress she wears or the purse she carries. Maybe the lady sitting next to you, maybe she bought her dress at Madame Cozell's. Maybe you got yours at the local yard sale. God's looking at the heart. God's looking at the heart. And the third point I'd like to make, I wasn't going to use this. I don't even know what time. Like I said, we never had clocks. But I shouldn't say we because I'm part of the church. Let me just say that. I thank God for being in the church today with the saints. Words can't express how much. But I do got a lot to learn and got a long way to go. I realize that. And maybe I'll keep myself out of the office tonight after I get done preaching. Brother Jerry, I told some of them that Barry, my brother-in-law, I told him what I had. He said, boy, that's some good stuff right there. He said, brother, please promise me something. I said, what? He said, promise me. I said, well, if I can, but I don't want to promise you nothing if I can't do it. He said, don't come out of that pulpit. Would you promise me that? And I said, man, I ain't coming out of the pulpit. But with all that being said, I've said this before. Some of y'all heard it, many of you hadn't. Some of you wanted me to say it again. But there was a poem I quoted, you know, several weeks back. And it goes like this. You may own a lovely mansion. You might drive a fancy car. Be a Hollywood attraction. And a famous movie star. You may know the Queen of England and hang around with the very elite. You might own a 5-star hotel or a horse that can't be beat. But I know there'll come a day when you'll trade it all away for what I have, for what I have. All the gold in California, all the coffee in Brazil, all the stocks and bonds on Wall Street, all the $100 bills, they may occupy the daydreams of a more ambitious man. But my eyes are fixed on heaven, and I'm sticking to my plan. I'll tell the whole world, even though they may not understand or know, just what I have, just what I have. What I have is a soul bought by the blood and sanctified. What I have is a little pool of tears where I'd cry, and I won't forget the day I traded all my sins away for what I have, for what I have. If you're here tonight, the plan of salvation is very, very simple. First, you must hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17 said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Two, we must believe. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Three, we must confess. Matthew 10:32, Jesus said in the Bible, He said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. And fifth, we must be baptized. Acts 2:38 teaches us that we are to be baptized for the remission of sins. Now listen to this. Be baptized for the what? For the remission of. Remission being what? The remission is the forgiveness of sin. If you haven't been baptized for the remission of sins, I urge you tonight, please consider it. I won't go into all that. Many of you heard how many times I've been baptized, but I'm telling you folks, it's Scripture. Mark 16:16 goes on and says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It don't say he that believeth shall be saved. It says he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Brother Steve brings it up a lot. Watch that little three-letter word, and. I'm telling you, that little word, and, it brings the Scripture alive if you'll watch it. Because, see, there's a stipulation there. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And last but not least, and overlooked by many, a lot of people, you know, you hear the teaching, once saved, always saved. I believe you can get saved and stay saved. I believe in eternal security. I believe God can keep you, but I believe you have to want to be kept. And if you don't, you won't keep it. We have to continue to live faithful. Revelations 2:10 said, be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Not be faithful and I'll give you a crown of life, but be faithful unto death and I'll give thee a crown of life. Matthew 24:13 goes on to say, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Not he that endures shall be saved. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Friend, it's a faith walk. We have to walk it to the day we die. Maybe you're here tonight and you used to have that joy. You was in the church. Maybe you're not as faithful as you'd like to be. We've all had our ups and downs. You'd like to have that joy again, you can have it before you leave tonight. Whatever your need is today, tonight, would you come while together we stand and while together we sing?